Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And now it's time for us to get into our conversation with Pastor Musa Gwiza, speaking to us about demons and their mission. My pastor, good afternoon and welcome once again to the program.
Very good afternoon and welcome once again. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor, for making time once again. We're talking about demons and their mission. It's quite a pivot from yesterday's conversation about angels and today talking about demons, which once part of the heavenly host, demons fell with Satan and became agents of chaos and rebellion. Understanding their nature helps Christians prepare for the spiritual battles ahead. So, Pastor, speak to us about this. Tell us what Scripture actually says about the fall of Lucifer and the origins of demons.
I think maybe as a little background, just for and a continuation of what we touched yesterday, mm-hmm. I think it can provide a good continuation.
Sure.
We did allude to the fact yesterday that Scripture portrays a cosmic battle between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever we speak of good, we speak of God. And whenever I speak of evil, we are talking about Satan.
Yes.
We'll see on how I will elaborate on that one.
Okay.
And so understanding this controversy between God and Satan, between good and evil, understanding this controversy, which actually is involved in the entire universe, will help us now to answer the question of who the devil is, who God is, etc., who man is, and what angels are, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so yesterday also did explain that angels are beings of a higher order than humans, and we quoted the Psalms chapter 8, verse 5, and that the angels were created to enjoy intimate fellowship with God.
Mm.
We also touched on the fact that they are of superior strength and obedience to God's word.
Yes.
And they also function as servants or emissaries of God, and they are ministering spirits of Him. Mm. Though generally invisible, we did also touch on that, though the angels are generally invisible at times, they do also appear in human forms. And now I can continue now to say that it was through one of these angelic beings that sin was introduced to the universe.
Hey.
And when using you see in the Bible that the Bible uses the imagery of the king of Tyre and Babylon as figurative descriptions for Lucifer. That is in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture illuminates how this cosmic controversy began. The Bible says the Lucifer, son of the morning, or the anointed covenant cherub, resided in the presence of God. And then Ezekiel 28, verse 12 and 15 now joins that Lucifer was actually a seal of perfection. Mm-hmm. You were a seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Now mm-hmm. that is the epitome now.
Sure.
You were righteous till iniquity was found in you.
Mm-hmm.
So you see now that although sin's rise is inexplicable and unjustifiable, you can be traced to Lucifer's pride,
mm-hmm.
as explained in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 17. What was that pride? Lucifer refused to be content with the exalted position his creator had given him.
Mm.
And in selfishness, he coveted equality with God
mm.
himself. He desired the throne of God and not this character.
I
think underlying that one,
yes.
He desired the throne. He desired the position, but not the character
sure.
of God.
Sure.
And so Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14 now also explain in detail now his desire, that he desired to be like the Most High, he desired to be above the stars, etc., etc. And then Lucifer's covert actions now blinded also many angels to God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And the resulting discontent and disloyalty to God's government grew until one-third of the angelic host joined him in rebellion.
Yeah,
this we can find in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4.
Hey.
Now, the tranquility of God's kingdom was shattered. That's what we get in the Bible, that God's kingdom, his tranquility, the tranquility of his kingdom was shattered, and the war broke out in heaven.
Yeah.
And this celestial warfare issued in Satan, depicted as the great dragon, the ancient Satan, and the devil being cast to the earth. And these angels were also cast down with him. Mm. And ever since, these angels, Satan and the third of the angels that was cast down, they work the work of demons, they work the work of the angels of darkness, the evil spirits, and the many other names that they are given. So by and large, that is the fall of Lucifer and the origin of demons.
Sure. You know, when you talk about the fact that he wanted the throne of God, he coveted the throne of God and not the character of God, that gave me goosebumps. I'm thinking about us now as human beings who oftentimes are frustrated because we want the gifts of God. We want the benefits that come with knowing God without actually knowing God, without being in a relationship with him. But we get so frustrated when he doesn't give us what we want. And just recognizing that that's the same, that's a similar spirit, and that is frightening to think about it that way.
In fact, if you go to Genesis chapter, did you know the actual sin that Eve committed in her conversation with the serpent, with the devil? Do you know the actual sin that she actually committed among the Ten Commandments?
What was that?
Because many people have asked this question, what sin exactly did Adam and Eve commit in the Garden of Eden? When you go to the book of Genesis chapter 3, I'm actually adding on what we are saying, you have just said.
Yeah.
When you go to the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, I want you to realize something there to what you are saying. The Bible says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. So all along, she's been conversing with Satan, with the devil.
Yes.
But at the moment that she gets attracted now to the fruit and to what Satan had said about her eyes being opened, about her being equal to God, etc., etc., the Bible says that's when she saw that the fruit was good. So the thing that actually caused Eve and Adam to fall was the desire to be like God, a desire to have the wisdom of God. The same thing that we see in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, and Ezekiel chapter 28.
Sure.
So it was that's the same thing. They coveted they trespassed the first commandment, having other gods before the God, the true God of heaven. So that was the sin that they committed. And in many ways and in many instances, we too, in our wrong choices and desires, we have usurped the prerogatives that are only due to God. You know, when we put other things in place of God, and that is committing the very sin that Adam and Eve committed, and it was the very sin that Lucifer also committed in heaven.
Sure.
Whenever we usurp the prerogatives that are only due to God, we are committing the first sin. We are trespassing the first commandment.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. When you think about it that way, I think a lot of us have come to trivialize some of the things that we do. We know that we're wrong, but what's the big deal? Even if we go back to Adam and Eve, we think it was just a fruit. The sin was, is it a sin to eat a fruit that God created? And yet, when you look at it through a spiritual lens, you see that it's so much deeper than that. And it is the devil's desire
Exactly.
The devil's desire is to trivialize the things that we do and make it like it's no big deal. No one is even going to get hurt. You know, just take that.
There was no big deal with the fruit. Nothing was holy about the fruit. Nothing was, you know, the fruit was just, you know, an instrument to test our obedience, to test their obedience.
Hey.
So it was about their obedience, you know.
Wow.
You know, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus
Amen.
But trust and obey.
Amen.
The fruit was just an instrument to test their obedience. So where they failed most was not in eating the fruit, but in disobedience. Because God had mentioned in Genesis 2:16-17 that in the moment that you shall eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. Mm. So it was not in the eating of the fruit per se, but in the moment that you shall disobey, you shall surely die. Mm. Today God has put, today in place of the fruit, God has put things like the tithe. Mm. Things like the tithe. In the moment that you shall eat of the tithe, you shall surely die. And I want to say, whichever way there is a death, that sin is committed. Whichever way there is a death. Well, whichever way, even if when tithe is eaten, even when adultery is committed, there is a death. Mm. You know. But let me be quick to mention, because someone will say, but Pastor, I fail to retain tithe, but I remain alive.
Yeah.
What happens? You know, to substantiate my statement that whichever way that sin is committed, there's death. Mm-hmm. Because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
And that sin is immediate. So in to answer to someone who says, but where do we die?
Mm.
I to you that where a sinner repents, the lamb dies.
Yay. Yo.
Yeah, the lamb dies. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Sure.
It does not mean that God lied, that in that very moment you shall eat of the fruit, you will die. Sure. And we know that Adam and Eve ate, but did not die. But we will forget that the lamb actually died.
Mm.
The lamb died. So when a sinner repents, the lamb dies. And when a sinner does not repent, that sinner will surely die.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Sure. So coming back to the subject of demons and their mission, how do they actually oppose God's work? What tools do they use in opposing God's work?
Yeah, the question is a bit broad, but I'll say that yes, we saw that how the devil accomplished the fall of Adam and Eve. He did that by insinuating doubt as to God's way and his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow Genesis 3:1-5, that's how the devil managed to win Adam and Eve, by insinuating doubt.
Yeah.
As to whether God's way is truthful, whether God is good, and whether his law can be kept.
Mm.
And so the devil has continued to do similar things even up to today. He works through deception. He works through lying. You know, and he works through so many things. He is the embodiment of, he is called the wicked one in Matthew 13, verse 19. So he works through wickedness.
Yeah.
In John 8:44, through lying, he's the father of lies. You know, he is the embodiment of consummate wickedness. That's what we can find in the devil. He is the prince of the power of the air, in according to Ephesians chapter 2:2. He is the prince of this world, the god of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4. And so he works through many subtle devices, you know, even transforming himself into an angel of light.
Mm.
He does a lot of things to blind the eyes of men, you know, so that the light of the gospel of God is not perceived. Basically, that's what he does. His aim, his mission, his modus operandi is to do many things. He proliferates even in bizarre acts that many have called miracles, so that at the end of the day, the gospel of God is not perceived.
Sure.
And so he snatches the word of God out of the hearts where it has been shown. You can also, something that comes into it, that has just come into my mind also, is Revelation chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Where, you know, remember Revelation is a prophecy, it's a prophetic book.
Yes.
Where so many things are said in symbols. Mm. In Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14, are given the spirit, the spirit is coming out of the mouth of the prophet, false prophet, you know, the dragon, etc., as frogs, you know. And those spirits are said to be three. You know, remember yesterday we did mention that for everything of God, the devil is put against it, a counterfeit.
Yes.
And when you look now in Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, three spirits comes out of the mouth of the dragon, of the false prophet, like frogs. And the Bible even goes on to say they performed great miracles. Didn't you know that that is actually counterfeiting Revelation chapter 14, where we see three angels. You know, we see three angels flying. You know, we see the three angels' messages.
Yeah.
So you see that now, each angel of Revelation 14 is a counterfeiting frog that it eat in Revelation chapter 16.
Hey.
So that's how the demons work. That's how they seek to achieve their mission, by counterfeiting the work of God. As they counterfeit, as they oppose each of the three angels, they say, in Revelation 14, so they also doing the same things even up to today.
Hmm. So with that in mind then, the fact that they can counterfeit, the devil can show himself as an angel of light, and because he knows the Bible in and out, he used scripture to try and tempt Jesus himself. How can we as Christians discern between, the truth and the lie? How can we know the difference? How can we know that this is actually the enemy? This is not truly an angel of light. And when we see the counterfeit, how can we know that this is not the real thing?
Yeah. Yes. The Bible actually is mentioned in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that be sober and be vigilant.
Mm.
So to discern the evil spirit from a natural challenge,
mm-hmm.
one needs to be sober. Mm-hmm. We need this. So,
all right. Our line is breaking up a little bit.
We need vigilance in the United States against the threats of the devil. Hello?
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we've got you back now.
Yes, so it needs a sober mind. Mm-hmm. It needs those relax. You know, this is the idea of once saved, always saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way, because the devil is not dead. He's not dead yet.
Sure.
Neither is the devil on holiday.
Mm.
But he is there. He does not sleep. But he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking him. He seeks to make his next lunch through someone who can be asleep.
Hey.
And also on how to discern between the spiritual warfare and the natural challenge. First John chapter 4, verse 1 simply advises us to test, not to believe all the spirits,
mm-hmm.
but to test. You know, the reason why you tested you tested your relish in the morning as you were preparing your breakfast
mm-hmm.
was for the reason that the peradventure, the salt may not have been enough.
Yeah.
You know. And the reason why teachers at the end of the term, they test their children is for the sole reason that perhaps as they were teaching the children, some may have understood the concepts of their learning, but there could be someone who may not have understood.
Right.
So there's always needed to test. So in like manner, not also the Bible advises us not to believe all the spirits.
Mm.
Because among the good spirits of God, the devil is also caught in, you know, the evil spirit, his evil spirits. So we need to test. By testing, and you are given in the Bible the ways of testing,
mm-hmm.
whether the prophets, whether the spirits are truthful, whether they are of God. By their fruits, you shall know them. And you are given Isaiah 8:20 to the law and to the church to test using the Bible, you know, and the spirit of prophecies.
Mm.
The Bible clearly points out whether the spirit is of God, whether the spirit is not of God. So, two things. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, in answer to your question, we can discern between spiritual warfare and natural challenges by being sober and being vigilant, ever being vigilant. Vigilance comes from staying in the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, by testing, not believing anything.
Mm.
But using your medulla oblongata every time. Someone says, come here. I want to lead you to come to my church, come to my prophet. Here, receive this. You need to test according to the Bible, whether that thing is truthful or not. Or else, you will be introduced to demons.
Sure. So what examples do we see in the Bible where God has victory over demons? How can we apply those same lessons in our own lives? What examples can you share with us?
First and foremost, we are given in the Bible where the red dragon, great red dragon, was poised before the child as the child was being born. Mm-hmm. You remember the story?
Yes.
And the child was caught up into heaven. You know, he was caught up into heaven. That film, that movie, like illustration,
yes,
shows the victory over the devil.
Mm.
You know, he was about to devour Jesus, but Jesus is quickly caught up into heaven.
Mm.
You also given him. What also comes into my mind is the Revelation 20, where the dragon himself is finally and completely defeated.
Mm.
You know, completely annihilated, completely wiped off. You know, and in like manner, when you go to the Bible now, in the New Testament, for example, you see victory over demons is illustrated, for example, in the story of Legion, the man with Legion,
yes.
So many demons.
Yeah,
he stayed, he was an outcast, stayed in the graves among, no, hopeless, you know, hopeless. I think that is a living parable, where we see that somebody who is hopeless, who is despondent,
yeah.
There's no hope in him.
Yeah.
He's already an outcast. Staying among the dead.
Mm.
In other words, he's enumerated among the dead already. But, and he's vice-gripped by demons. 2,000 of them, because that's what Legion means. Vice-gripped. And they are working on him, when Jesus comes to that person, you know, he exorcises those demons. And what happens? The man who used to stay naked, he is clothed. He is now removed.
Amen.
From the graves, and he goes back to his family. That's a clear biblical example,
yeah,
of a victory over demons. That is the victory over demons. We also have examples where Jesus cast out demons from somebody who was deaf and dumb
mm-hmm.
or blind, and that person started to hear, started to speak, began to see. That shows that there is certainly the victory over demons.
Mm, mm.
We are promised that victory over demons.
Beautiful.
Yes.
And that gives us so much hope. Because I think when we think about demons and all these dark forces, whether it's because of movies or I don't know, but whatever the imagery that we have in our minds, it's very frightening to think about. But when you mm-hmm. come to remember that they exist, but if they exist, that means God also exists. And God is more,
for sure,
powerful.
Wonderful.
Than they are. So it's always encouraging to know that. Now, why is it important to trust in God's authority over those demonic forces?
Yes. We somebody once gave an illustration of a race, the hound race, the race of dogs.
Yes.
You know, the race of dogs, one man who owned the black dog and the white dog. And every time he would check how much money has been put behind the black dog
mm-hmm.
for tomorrow's race. So what he would simply do is, if there's so much money behind the black dog, he would starve the black dog that yesternight and feed the white one. You know, the race would be manipulated.
Yeah.
You know, when there's so much money behind the white dog, he would starve the white dog and feed the black one. So the outcome of the race would be in his hands.
Mm.
So likewise, it's so much important to feed God and to starve the devil in terms of our allegiance, in terms of our choices, in terms of our everyday. Our everyday participation in this great controversy.
Mm.
We need to voluntarily and individually make a choice to feed God. How do we feed God? Not necessarily what's that called? That we put on babies when you are feeding them.
Yes.
No, and that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm simply meaning that we need to choose to stand with God, to fight for and to fight with God, to make sure that we are in the boat where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky every time.
Mm.
That way, we have put ourselves in a position of being encompassed by him whenever the devil throws his eyes on us.
Amen. Amen.
So it's important to trust in God every time, no matter how loud, how loud the drums can be from the devil.
Yeah.
We just have to trust and live by a still small voice that bids us, my child, here is the way, walk therein.
Hey.
And if we walk by that way, we will never be disappointed. We can walk even over the water. We can stand even in the fires that are seven times a day. They will never burn us.
Amen.
So how to trust God? We just have to trust whatever he says we should do in spite of the challenge, in spite of the Red Seas, in spite of how fierce the armies of Pharaoh can be. We just have to trust God and to do whatsoever he says we should do. That way we are safe from the demons.
Amen. Amen.
You rightly pointed out that things of the devils are scary. The devil works through scary things. You know, these things are things of darkness. Be careful of the things that are done for or in the darkness. Things that are, you know, things that are for scary things, scary colors, you know, black, red, scary colors. You know, dead things, bones, what those things. The devil works with scary things to induce fear. But God works in the opposite.
Yeah.
He works in love. Still small voice, persuasion.
Amen.
That's how he works.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
So trust the persuasion of God.
Yes.
Trust the whisper of God.
Yes.
That way you are safe.
And to recognize that, as you're saying, you have to be intentional about your prayer, your devotion, so that you can recognize.
Very
since
good.
It comes in a whisper, you have to be able to recognize that that's God's voice. And
submit. Amen.
If you don't have that personal,
If
you don't have that personal relationship, you will never recognize the voice or have any inclination to submit to him.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. We'll be connecting with you again tomorrow, same time and same place. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
My pleasure. Amen. Same to you. My pleasure.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.